be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. And if you're ready to take the next steps to become empowered and motivated and better equipped for success, then stay tuned. A little housekeeping things. First of all, the today's Inspiring Women's the conference is coming up October 4th, Friday, October 4th, at the beautiful Oak Brook Bath and Tennis Club in Oak Brook, Illinois. At that conference, we're going to have a number of the executives that have been on this show talking a little bit more in depth about marketing your personal brand and secrets to entrepreneurial success. So if you're in the Chicago, Illinois area, look us up or contact us at www.inspiringwomensconference.com. Well, we have got a great guest today. We have got Terry Langhans, and Terry is a gal who was a former CEO of a $30 million national ad agency and marketing firm that she started from scratch, and then she grew it large enough to sell it to a Fortune 100 company. I mean, how great is that? Terry Langhans started her marketing and communications career working as a newspaper editor, public information officer, and then marketing director of a health system. The first business she started, she says, failed miserably. The second one, as you just heard, didn't. She grew that ad agency and marketing firm large enough and profitable enough to sell it to a Fortune 100 company, and then also served as a CEO for that company for 5 years. Terry has managed to raise 3 grown children and has somehow stayed married through her roller coaster career. When you do that, you know, something happens. Either you either go completely nuts or you learn a lot. And in Terry's case, it was the latter, and she learned a lot. Although she does say that for a little while, things were a little shaky and came close to divorce at one point. So we're going to learn some of those lessons as well. Terry, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you so much, Deanne. I'm excited.
Yeah, glad to have you on board. I mean, not too many people can say that they grew a company large enough to sell it to a Fortune 100 company for the amount of money you did. You know, I think one of the things that's really interesting, and I know that our listeners are probably dying to hear, is that, you know, your first business failed. And I think it's really, it says something about your character that you're willing to admit that that first business failed and the second one didn't. So there's a lot of lessons that you can share. First of all, what were the two businesses?
Well, the surprising thing is that the two businesses were very, I mean, they were the same. The first really? One was an ad agency and a marketing firm, but we had way too much overhead, way too many people, way too much size and girth, if you will, and we went under. And then two of us picked up the pieces and started over again from scratch, and that's the business that then started growing, and we learned the hard way how to plan and keep things in order so that we didn't grow too fast.
Well, I think that's really important. So here you have two businesses, same industry, one didn't work and one did. So could you get a little bit more specific and tell us, you know, why you think that first one failed and what were some of those lessons that you learned that made the second company so successful?
Sure. The one thing in certainly in a service business, essentially an ad agency, a marketing firm, consultants, creative folks. I mean, anyone who sells their time, their talent, their creativity goes through, I used to call it, it was like we'd go underground. You would do all you could to win the business, to get an account, to get a client. And then you would go underground doing the voodoo you do that you were hired to do. You would, you know, devote yourself to, in my case, it was putting together the advertising and the marketing strategy and the campaign. And then you come up for air and, oh, that project's almost finished, and where's the next one? And that was the problem with the first business. We were all diving so deeply into win the business, work the business. Uh-oh, too late. You know, they always say the best time to look for new business is when you don't need it.
Right.
So the second time around, we were much more careful about, A, having a target, knowing, you know, what was the volume we needed and wanted, you know, at what level to keep the doors open, at what level to meet payroll, at what level to actually have that beautiful P word profit. And we balanced much better the rainmaking duties. Primarily that was my job, was rainmaking and strategy. And then we would hand off the client to the right account person and, you know, the delivery stage. So having that target really helped, and we could then plan our, you know, if we felt ourselves going underground, we'd be able to stop and say, wait a minute, what have we done today, you know, to bring in new business? We've got to be constantly looking. And then one of the things, ad agencies, marketing firms, so many service companies are perceived, I call it, you know, we all look alike. An ad agency is an ad agency. Architectural firm is the same. You know, you guys all look alike. Just tell me how much it's going to cost. Do some work on spec. What we managed to do was truly set ourselves apart. We did not want to do expected, usual, boring kind of advertising. So when we went and pitched business, we knew it made us different, and that is that we were brave, we were creative, we were known for not just, you know, showing people a picture of the product and here are the bullet points and here's where to call, or, you know, back in those days, I'm going to carbon date myself, Deanne, this was before the internet. Way before the internet. So it was all about the call to action and getting people to call or, you know, reply. So we were very big on going about that in an unexpected, unusual, much more creative way. And we were able to articulate that. We were able to talk about ourselves in a way that said, look, if you want the expected, the usual, the ordinary, if you just want someone to take your ideas and lay them out nice and say what you need to say to make the powers that be happy, we are the wrong firm for you. We work with brave clients. We work with clients who truly want to stand out and be different. And then in that whole process, I think one of the principles that truly boils down to, even to this day in my speaking business, is that when it all comes down to making that final choice, whether they're going to hire you or not, it boils down to emotion. It boils down to, all things being equal, who do I like? Who can I picture late at night, you know, elbow to elbow, working through a problem or working through a concept or a strategy? And when we realized that, it gave us kind of the courage and the confidence to go after a certain kind of business, you know, looking for the right fit, as opposed to just chasing anybody who could write us a check, and then being free to be ourselves and explore the fit with those clients, as opposed to getting into a big, heavy-duty sales pitch. And the more we did that, the more we found clients that we could serve and we liked serving best, and the more referrals we got, and we became known for. Okay, if you want that kind of marketing and strategy, you really need to call these guys.
Well, you just gave us a whole wealth of information here. I just heard a whole bunch of things that I think all of our listeners could really resonate with. One is that the rainmaking, that was keeping business in the pipeline. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Then you identified, it sounded like you, when you talked about specific target, it sounded like that was on two fronts. One, you identified what the specific target you needed to make, like every month or every quarter. But it also sounded like specific target for the perfect fit for a client.
Exactly. In fact, that's really the first part even of marketing. When I consult with people, I say, don't tell me about your product. Don't tell me what you do. Tell me who you are going to sell to or work with, because that determines everything. That determines your message. It determines scope of services, the works.
The other thing that I heard that I thought was very important is what makes you different.
Right. You know, you hear it so many different ways, your unique selling point. And I named my company Blah, Blah, Blah for a reason, because that's what most marketing and advertising boils down to, those three words. Everybody's saying the same thing, blah, blah, blah. When you know what makes you different, meaning you can bring your benefits to life, you can, you know, essentially you can be who you are and do it in a way that stands out and is memorable, that's the key. So especially coming from a failed business, it was really difficult for us to walk in to a client and, you know, you have that uh-oh feeling like, wow, they've got a big check, they've got a big budget. We could do that. You know, we could handle that. But, boy, they have already said they want so-and-so's picture in the ad. They want, it's more of they were looking for someone to put their ideas into place as opposed to ours. We knew that what made us different is we're going to push the envelope. We're going to do creative and strategies that aren't as expected and usual. We might even do marketing that makes people laugh. Oh, no. If people weren't willing to let us do that, we had to, you know, respectfully decline. And yes, we did that a few times. In fact, I remember walking out of a client meeting once we were hired, we were doing it, we went against our gut, we said, yeah, but, you know, we can cash that check even if we aren't real proud of the work we're doing. And at one point in the client meeting when they were literally a healthcare client, the doctor said, well, you didn't tell us we had to buy envelopes. And I just went, you're going to mail something and you didn't know. And we respectfully said, you know, I think you could be better served by another client. No charge for today's meeting. And we left.
So it also sounds like you were really aware of the relationships that were involved with all of your clients as well. And that seemed like a real key piece.
Yes, it's so much more about finding the right fit and really being able to connect with them. And it's so much easier to, you know, work deeper within a client relationship than it is to go out and get a new one. So we also like the fact that if you find the right fit and you do good work for them, that's, you know, the best bet is when they are brave, when we can work together to help them reach their objectives, word spreads. And the next time I go to a new business meeting, I can talk about the success stories. You know, it's true to this day as a professional speaker, my best marketing is the fact that the more I speak, the more I speak, as opposed to telling you what I can do when you can show it and you have other people because you've built that relationship. That makes a difference.
Well, excellent. Now, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more to Terry and learn some of her strategies and how she grew her business. So stay tuned. This is Deanne DeMarco. We'll be right back.
follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel? Constantly running but getting nowhere? Ready to try something different? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. Each week, you can find out how to choose your energy and change your life with your host, Deborah Jane Wells. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Tune in to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Well, welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women. We are speaking to Terry Langens. And Terry, you know, one of the things in your bio, you made a mention that through this roller coaster of having a failed business and then having a very successful business that you sold for $30 million, that you had at one point kind of a rocky marriage that you were able to save. Can you tell us, without getting too personal, about some of those work-life balance issues that you had to work through?
Yes, I'm happy to, because I think that's maybe one of the reasons it was allowed to happen. And that is, when you are so focused on anything other than family, children, etc., you get distracted. And one of the things I learned quickly in business, and then was able, and I admit, with the help of a brilliant counselor, to apply to my marriage, was you find what you're looking for. If you're looking for a certain type of client and you focus on it and you know when to say no, you'll find it. I literally had to focus on, okay, I'm going to stop coming home and finding a mess and finding something to complain about. I'm going to focus on the good stuff. And luckily, this counselor said, it isn't all about how you feel. It's about putting action to it. And so my homework was, I will give 5 compliments a day. She asked me one day, could you run your business on 20 minutes a day? I said, of course not. No way. She said, then what in the world makes you think you can have a successful marriage on less than 20 minutes a day? So one of the homework assignments was, we had to sit and brace yourself, talk to each other for 20 minutes. I would talk for 20 minutes, then he would talk for 20 minutes. And coupled with focusing on the positive and literally putting numbers to what we wanted more of, that started the actions and the behaviors that saved the marriage. It wasn't all about waiting to feel in love and feel like coming home. It was about basically setting numbers to what we wanted more of.
Can you explain that number piece just a little bit more?
Sure. In fact, I can tie it to both business and pleasure. I was sitting in Starbucks one day working on my computer, and this was rather recently, and a man looked at me and said, boy, you're working hard. And I was stunned, because to me, I wasn't working. I love what I do so much that it doesn't feel like work, which can be a problem at home. So what I'm talking about putting a number is, I literally sat down one day and I said, what do I want more of? I want more romance. I want more intimacy. I want more bookings. I want more time with my granddaughter. I really want to spend more time with my mom. And I literally made categories. One was a relationship category. So I have a benchmark of 2. I'm going to Skype my granddaughter 2 times a month. I want to play more tennis. I want to be healthy. So I have an exercise benchmark. and that's 12 tennis games and 4 yogas. And I have a relationship benchmark, and that's, you know, 4, 5, 10, you know, however many, like date nights or romantic dinners or entertaining. And I literally sit down and look at that every month and think, okay, am I going to reach that benchmark? And I realized, to that man's mention about working, how would I know that I was relaxing? How can I benchmark that? So I have a benchmark of I read at least one novel a month, because the only time I'm going to read a novel is like sitting outside or, you know, before I go to bed. But it can't be about business. It has to just be something that is brainless or unrelated, because that's how I know I am balancing. Because otherwise, I'd be doing what I love most, which tends to be blah, 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 speaking, mm-hmm. writing, and consulting.
Yeah, very interesting. Never heard of putting numbers to things that you want to do.
Right. Well, and I have a number for my speaking business. You know, I want to book 4 presentations a month. That doesn't mean I deliver them. It just means I book them. And you might have a benchmark for volunteering or financial. You know, what do you want to sell every month? What do you want to save every month? What do you want to donate every month? But every 30 days, you kind of look at that and you find what you're looking for. If you're looking for ways to have a date night, you will. If it's just kind of, I'll get around to it, it didn't really happen for me.
Very interesting. That would work very well in all of our businesses.
You know, it really does. Just depends on what your number is.
Yeah, it ties into your rainmaking that you talked about in the first segment, you know, about making sure that you have something in your pipeline. But the same thing is true about all these benchmarks that you have. Do you have something in your pipeline to build off of?
Right. How many phone calls a month are you going to make? Mm-hmm. You know, how many networking meetings are you going to go to? And I do it on a month because if you think for a year, it lets you off the hook. You think, oh, well, I'll catch up next month. No. You know, 1 networking meeting a week, your benchmark is 4. 1 phone call a day, 1 a day. If you work Monday through Friday, that's 20. And it's a way to at least keep all the things that you want more of on track and on your radar screen.
Well, that is really, I think that's really great advice. Let me just ask one really quick question. Don't spend too much on it, but did you find it different running a big $30 million company?
Oh my gosh. I thought there was nothing more stressful in the world than running your own business, coming home and saying, honey, we're not going to have a paycheck this week because this or that. When I sold to the publicly traded company, it was more stressful than anything else because it was constantly, what have you done for me lately? That was nice. You were close, but yet so far. And actually, uh-huh. The reason I left after 5 years was because I lost touch with what I loved doing most, and I turned into much more administration, HR, stockholders, this and that. And I wanted to get back to being close to the people that I loved to work with.
Getting back to your roots, what you enjoy doing.
Exactly.
Your passion. So tell us, what are you doing now? And you said your name of your company was blah, blah, blah.
I know. no one can pronounce or spell Langhans. I get Lothans, uh-huh. Lighthouse, Lederhosen. when I started my company, I had one of my creative directors come up with a logo for me. And my logo are the words blah, 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 blah in a square. And then in the middle, my name pops out. It wasn't the name of my company. It was just part of my logo until people like you would start introducing me as, this is Terry, the blah, blah, she's the blah, blah, blah lady, or her company's name is blah, blah, blah. I'm all about how to make your message stand out and get better results, how to be anything but blah.
So what are the specific services that you provide?
Well, what I love to do most is speak. I speak at conferences, corporate meetings, conduct marketing retreats. I have a program called Get to the Point and Get People to See Things Your Way, which is great for anyone who wants to be clear, confident, and convincing when they have something to say, whether it's in front of a group or not. And I love to help other people find that point of difference. So speaking is number one. And I do have a way for people to work with me one-on-one in what I call a pinpoint session.
Ah, so that's like one-on-one coaching?
Yeah, but it's kind of a short-term hit me with your best shot. We do one or two of those, and I take people a long way in a very short time without having to get back into a big old agency relationship and all that stuff. I've become a leaner, meaner, but very nice marketing machine.
I love it. So how do people get hold of you? Do they just Google blah, blah, blah?
They'll find me. It's blah, blah, blah.
Dot, oh, it is.
It is dot U.S. So blah, blah, blah dot U.S. as in United States. And blah is spelled B-L-A-H.
B-L-A-H. So Google blah, blah.
Yeah, three of them, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
And so, Terry, and you will definitely find me.
So it's www.blahblahblah.us.
Dot U.S., as in us or United States.
As in us. Wow, that's wonderful.
It's fun.
Well, Terry, I would like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women. You are a hoot.
Anything but blah, that's my goal. Thank you so much for what you do.
Well, we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we have a guest who's going to tell us how to take a look at market trends as potential business opportunities. This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We're on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
When you make decisions, do you ever find yourself in doubt? Are you trying to figure out what's right with you? Are you ready to truly change your life? Listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the founders of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane Heer. Consciousness is all about including everything and judging nothing. Our program will help you break free from your personal limitations and enhance positive change in all areas of your life. Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Wealth Solutions for the 99% is a weekly talk show focused on helping you develop and execute a game plan to build wealth. Your host, Paul LaJoy, who built a $50 million plus company in less than 5 years, believes it's impossible to be poor in America, and he'll show you why with his innovative strategies. Joining Paul as co-host is radio personality Kim Reed, an experienced entrepreneur and corporate leader who's known as the Corporatepreneur. The show is upbeat, fun, and informative. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel, voiceamericaempowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. Our second guest is a very interesting lady, another entrepreneur, Vicki Kunkel, is currently a digital content strategist working at the intersection of journalism, technology, and interactive consumer education. She creates interactive brand news sites, e-learning programs, and mobile apps that educate, inform, build customer and employee loyalty, and drive sales. Now, Vicki started out and sold two companies. She's written a top seller book and has appeared on numerous radio and television and news programs. Vicki has been a TV news anchor and reporter, a talk show host, e-learning programmer and developer, and commercial animation artist. She was once a panelist along with the likes of Tony Robbins and Stephen Covey on the Leave of Extraordinary Minds radio show, speaking about her breakthrough research in social anthropology and how it impacts our present-day communication. She was also the recipient of the Illinois Women's Bar Association's Women of the Year Vision Award and Nelco Company's Innovation Award for her cutting-edge digital content and e-learning initiatives. In her background, she has helped CEOs and politicians gain audience appeal through their presentations and online branded portals. Vicki has coached 7 U.S. congressional representatives, 4 state governors, and 11 state senators, and dozens of CEOs. Vicki, welcome to Today's Inspiring Women.
Hey, thanks a lot, Deanne. Boy, after that intro, I'm beginning to think Mom was right. I can't hold a job.
No. You know, you've had such a diverse career, and you've had so many different positions throughout your life. I think it's really important to have our audience listen to how you have positioned yourself in being in the right place at the right time. I mean, from coaching politicians and CEOs on media training to e-learning. Give us a brief background on how you got into this field and what has prepared you for what you're doing now.
Sure. I got into this field actually when I wanted to get out of news. I started my career in news because my formal educational background was in broadcast news. And actually, it was an interview with another female entrepreneur that sparked my interest in getting into what I would call educational entrepreneurism, meaning finding an entrepreneurial outlet where I could be helpful in terms of education, whether that's educating the public or corporate employees or even school children. So I looked around when I was in news and I said, okay, what am I qualified for? And the only thing I was qualified to teach at that time was media training and presentation skills. And because I had a good connection with and a pretty large Rolodex of CEOs and politicians from my journalism days, my reporting and anchoring days, that's where I started. I thought, okay, who has the need, the desire, and most importantly, the money to pay me for this kind of consulting? So it just seemed like a logical place to go. And then from there, I branched out into more corporate training after a few years. And then I really became enamored with technology. And that's when I started looking into, well, what's the next phase of learning? How could I use technology to really move this forward? And I started, you know, I taught myself, self-taught, how to do programming languages. I learned how to do animation, character animations and avatar animations. I took a lot of artist classes so I could draw things and animate those on my own. And so it really was the kind of coming together of my writing and journalism background as well as my training background, coupled with that additional education that I went on for. And, you know, this here I am today in e-learning and digital content.
Wow, that's really interesting. You know, it's interesting. I heard you say a couple of things. Is that you started out based upon your education, and then who has a need, who has a desire, and who can pay me? And then it moved into more of what you're really interested in doing.
Right, right.
Which I think is important for all of us, is to really be paying attention to what it is that moves us to want to do certain things. So for those women out there who are looking to change careers, how did you exactly do that? So if someone wants to shift gears, what are the things that they ought to be doing?
Well, and that's a great question, because there are so many different things to look at. First, a couple of things to consider. Look at, obviously, your skills, abilities, and interests. But more importantly, look for a common thread in your background. Now, at first glance, it may seem as if a TV news anchor, reporter, and trainer has nothing in common whatsoever with a digital content strategist, which is someone who needs the programming languages and animation knowledge and all of that, as well as an instructional design background. But the common element for me has always been communications and teaching. I mean, as far back as grade school, I was entering speaking and writing competitions and, you know, continued that through high school. And thankfully, the scholarship monies I won from those competitions paid for my college education. So I always kind of had that teaching, communication thing going, even at a very young age. And when you think about it, news is really just teaching the public about current events. Training is teaching the corporate environment. Digital content is teaching in the digital arena using all the wonderful technology and tools and platforms that are available to us now.
Very interesting. I never realized that I couldn't quite figure out what that common thread is.
Mm-hmm.
So the real key is to identify for yourself what that common thread is for yourself.
Absolutely. And, you know, some people are sort of stuck on, well, I know I want to do something different. And I know what my skills are, but I don't know what that is. What is that thing that I might want to go into? And so many people get stuck on, I don't know what I want to do. And, you know, for me, I think you have to look at two things. Look at this is going to sound so weird, but what makes you jealous? Because if you're jealous of something, that's an indication that you fear or resent, or you're angry about not having something, or you fear losing something. So, you know, I mean, if I'm jealous of a pantomime artist on the street, maybe I want to look at them. Maybe I'm jealous of the pantomime artist. Now you have to dig deeper. Am I jealous of his ability to use his creative and presentation skills? Am I jealous of his ability to be in front of a live audience? Am I jealous of the fact that he has creative, freedom over his time? So you have to identify, okay, what am I jealous of? And then why am I jealous of that? And for me, I was always a little bit jealous of people who I saw in the training field and who were really becoming the superstars in the training field. But yet, you know, for example, take Tony Robbins. I mean, I looked at him and admired what he did. But to me, and I'm not knocking him, he's phenomenal. He's great at what he does. He's done a lot of people a lot of good. But to me, that was a little bit too flashy. I mean, that just wasn't my style. I didn't want to be that. And what really, and I did do stand-up training for many years. And I always, although I loved it, I always felt as if something was missing. And for me, I always thought, oh, it's just that I regret getting out of news. Because I was always a little jealous of, you know, yes, training people, but also news people. And I thought, okay, why did I get out of news? And I went so far as to interview with a Chicago station, was offered a job as reporter, and I turned it down. I thought, okay, now what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Now I'm turning down things that I thought I wanted. But what I finally came to realize, what I loved about journalism was the writing, the creativity of putting video to a story, and the whole teaching aspect of it. Because I hated stories when I had to go out and cover, you know, an accident or a fire or something like that. I didn't care about those. But stories that really delved more deeply into societal issues, those were what jazzed me, because they gave me an opportunity to investigate an issue and say, okay, how can you, the public, learn from this? How can this help your life? So again, it was always back to the teaching, back to the creativity.
Very interesting. And one of the things that I find very fascinating with you is that you have seemed to have timed your career based upon certain market trends or from a market's perspective. I mean, how do you know when it's time to get out of a field or when it's time to get into a new one?
Oh, wow. Great questions. And those are actually two separate questions. So I'll take the second one first. You know, how do you know it's a good time to get into something? And I'm sure everybody has a different answer, but for me, I look at three things. The first one is current events. Now, current events may not always drive market trends, but they can give market trends a push in a different direction. For example, I'll give you an example of how this played out in my life. E-learning had a very, very limited foothold. I mean, it was really only embraced by early adopters prior to 9/11. So, you know, those of us considered geeks were running around preaching e-learning and everybody else was kind of pointing and laughing at us. But after 9/11, and I'd say for about a period of 2 years after that, e-learning continued to gain ground because travel came to a screeching halt in the days immediately after 9/11, and it remained greatly reduced for quite a bit of time after that. So companies were then starting to look at alternatives to the instructor-led classroom trainings where everybody had to travel. Well, then around, oh, it must have been about 2005, companies started to feel better again, and business travel was starting to open up, and once again, instructor-led training increased, and the e-learning naysayers once again came out of the woodwork and were being kind of vocal. But still, if you sat back and watched the trends, you knew it would only take one more little incident of any kind to wreak havoc on business travel again. And that's where my head was at the time. I thought, you know, I think I'm sticking with this e-learning. I think I'm in the right place. I love what I'm doing, and I think the market's going to change, and it's going to be a big hit. Well, then along came the economic downturn in 2007, 2008, and, you know, up until now, really. And that is what really pushed e-learning into the forefront. So the first thing is, look at current news events and how will those impact markets? The second thing is watch when trying to identify a trend and look at industries that have the fastest growth. Again, I'll stick with my example because that's what I know best. I noticed there was explosive growth not only in computers and computing technology, but mobile devices. And given that more people were joined at the hip with their smartphones and they just could not live without them, I started to look at not just e-learning, but m-learning or mobile learning. Again, I was probably a bit ahead of the curve on that, but guess what came onto the scene shortly after that? The tablets, the iPads, the Android devices, and companies were looking at those tablets as a productivity tool. And once that happened, then they said, oh, we can use this for training too. So that was the second trend that I watched. And then the third trend that I always try to keep an eye on, in addition to current events and which markets are growing fastest, is look at demographics. Part of the problems with getting companies early on to embrace e-learning for me was that many in my generation weren't used to using technology for everything. But when Generations X and especially Generation Y, when those folks began entering the workforce and getting into management positions, those generations are very comfortable with technology, and using technology for training and education was a no-brainer. So, you know, those are the three things I usually look at. Of course, you know, you want to keep your eye on other things, but for me, those have always been good leading indicators, as I put it.
Well, that's really very, very interesting. Yeah, because in my business classes, I always talk about being business savvy, and part of being business savvy is paying attention to internal and external trends. Very, very interesting. We need to take a quick break here. We're talking to Vicki Kunkel. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. This is Deanne DeMarco on today's Inspiring Women. Stay tuned.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
The challenges facing our teens today mean that more than ever, we need to be there to support them and encourage them. The Dr. STEM Show is here to provide discussions about topics that will help promote healthy relationships, self-image, and success for teens, parents, and the community. Our young people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. The Dr. STEM Show, hosted by Dr. STEM Malatini, will foster these discussions and encourage your participation. Listen every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, and 9 p.m. GMT on Voice America Empowerment.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. We're talking to Vicki Kunkel. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women. And Vicki, we were talking about looking at business trends for entrepreneurs looking for a market to get into. When is it time to bail out of a market?
Well, that's a good question. And again, you look at those same indicators and say, okay, based on those three indicators, is what I'm in now, does it look like it will grow, or does it look like it will be something that will be constricting? Certainly, you know, those other indicators I mentioned, when I was in that, the whole thick of it, if you will, I was doing both instructor-led training and e-learning, and I, in the worst way, wanted to make the jump to 100% e-learning. And I finally made a very difficult choice at that time. I said, you know what? I have to go full boat on one or the other. I can't have one foot in each. And I decided to go full boat with the e-learning. And again, based on the market trends, I thought, I just don't think the classroom training is going to be there. And, you know, in addition to market trends, I just want to add this, because for me, I think you have to look at your personal system too, when to know when to get out. I was becoming very bored with and just not motivated by classroom training or instructor-led training anymore. And some of the types of trainings that companies were having me do went against my value system. So look at your value system, and if something does not resonate with that, by all means, do not go into that and do not do that. And, you know, if you find yourself procrastinating on tasks and jobs that you used to love doing, that's a good sign that it's you're burnt out, you've been in it too long, or you just need a change.
That's really good advice. I love that, being tapping into your own value system and your own personal systems. I mean, I actually left a company once because their values were totally against my values.
So right, yeah, and that's
really
so
important. Yeah, and I felt drained every day, even going in there, because the values clashed so much. I was just drained every single day. And I'm a high-energy person, but by 10 o'clock, I was totally wiped out.
And that's a great sign. So many people think, oh, I must have a physical ailment. Well, look at your job first is my suggestion. Now, certainly, you know, I'm not saying, you know, it couldn't be something physically wrong, but, you know, I mean, look at your motivation, look at your value system, and those are so important to align with what you're doing.
I definitely agree with that 100%. You know, so has there ever been a time when you've made a big mistake and you've read the market wrong?
In a word, yes.
Okay, what were the learnings with it?
Oh, Lord. Well, let me tell you what the mistake cost me first.
Okay.
It cost me $42,000.
Uh-huh.
That's when you're a sole proprietor, and, you know, I don't have a rich uncle, I'm not married, I don't have spousal support, so it's just me here. A $42,000 mistake when you're in business for yourself is alarming, to say the least.
Uh-huh.
And what the mistake was getting too far ahead of the market. Again, I'll give you an example. In 2002, I'll never forget this, I met an entrepreneur in San Francisco who had just developed this really cool electronic web-based training program for the web. And in essence, it was a virtual classroom product. And I thought, aha, it includes an electronic whiteboard where people from any location can write on it. And, you know, people could raise their hands and interact with each other. If they wanted to make a comment, it was all video-based, so their picture would populate full screen. They could break out into groups virtually and talk to each group. Essentially, this guy in 2002 had a product that was a combination of Google Hangouts, Skype, and WebEx all rolled into one.
Right.
And I just thought that was the greatest invention since sliced bread. Because remember, I was already on the e-learning bandwagon, which meant I was doing the self-paced courses with animated avatars and simulations and all that. And I thought, aha, this virtual classroom will be a way for me to transition companies from in-person training to the self-paced e-learning, because I thought, okay, we'll move them over to the virtual environment where it still mimics to some degree the classroom, but it's virtual. It was a massive, total, and complete failure. Because remember, this was 2002. It was just shortly after 9/11. So remember, companies really weren't still, they were doing e-learning only because they had to. They were not willing to invest huge sums of money in these new learning platforms.
Right.
And it was a total and complete failure. And the learning from that was, okay, just because you think something is really cool and you see the benefit of the technology, you also have to look at those three things I talked about before to identify, is the market ready? The market may not be ready for you yet. If we had positioned and promoted this product 5-6 years later, it would have been a hit.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we've seen that throughout history where there's been certain products that, and for good example is the microwave. I remember that came out about 20 years before it was finally really accepted. you know, the market just wasn't ready for it yet.
Right.
So, wow, very, 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 very interesting. Yeah, I think that's really good information as well. You know, so what advice would you give to people who are looking to start a business? They have no idea what they want to do. What advice would you have for someone like that today?
Well, you know, as I alluded to before, just take stock, take inventory, look at what are my skills, what are my abilities, what's my background, what's the common thread in my background. So once you get that done, then look at part two. Okay, what do I like to do? What gets me motivated? What gets me jazzed? Because for me, it took me a long time to identify that what I really liked about news wasn't so much, and in fact, it wasn't at all anchoring, but I enjoyed doing the research and writing and the creativity of putting something together that could teach people. And all this time, I thought, I probably like it because of the presentation aspect. And actually, that was the thing I enjoyed the least about being on television. I enjoyed the background work. So I said, oh, wow, light bulb moment. That's kind of fun. Secondly, pay attention to what you pay attention to. If you're walking down the street and something catches your eye and it just intrigues you, ask why. If you're watching television and a show captivates you, ask yourself why. And for me, the funny thing is when I was going through this self-analysis personally, I mean, I'm addicted to the Weather Channel, and I would always find myself stopping on the Weather Channel. And especially when they were talking about these hurricane hunters that would go out. And again, it got back to, you know what? I'm really jazzed by programs that teach people something. You know, reality TV, dramas, you know, I could care less about, but I'm always drawn to those types of things. And then, as I said earlier, what makes you jealous? Who and what are you jealous of? And try to identify why, because there are gems, I mean, just real gems in there that can give you some clues as to what you want to do.
I think that's really good advice. Really do. So tell us a little bit about your digital content strategist. Tell us about that. What's the name of your company and what do you do exactly?
Sure. What is a digital content strategist? Sounds good, doesn't it? The name of my company is Immerse Interactive. And the best way I can describe a digital content strategist is it's someone who identifies an audience need of what they want to know, then identifies a couple of other things. Now that I know what the audience wants to know, what's the best delivery platform? What's the best delivery method to meet those audience objectives? And what's the best user interface and navigation? So instead of just worrying about content, meaning the text or the written word and maybe throwing in some graphics, it's this whole thing about how does the brain work with human-computer interaction? Because when I read something off of a screen or view something on a small screen, my brain is interpreting and reacting to that much differently than it does face-to-face or even much differently from what it does when I'm watching television, a large screen or a movie. So you have to take those considerations into effect. And the most important component that a digital strategist does for the small screen, meaning smartphones, tablets, and laptops and such, is making the content interactive and able to be manipulated by the end user. So, for example, let's say a news organization runs a story on wildfires. And then we say, well, you know what? We want people to understand exactly what fuels and makes a wildfire grow. And it's a lot of things. It's humidity. It's wind, and it's the fuel, meaning the brush underneath, what types of brush are underneath. So then the digital content strategist would be called in and said, okay, how can we make this interactive and make it so people will get it and have fun learning about it? Well, gee, maybe we want to create a graphic then that's interactive, a simulation, and I as the user can increase the wind speed or change the type of brush underneath or change the humidity levels. And then the fire either expands or contracts based upon those data inputs that I can manipulate. Mm-hmm. So it becomes very interactive. There's a newspaper in Seattle that does a wonderful job with this. They've done it with their biking trails. You know, what are the best bike trails? And I can input where I live and then what criteria I want, whether I want paved, whether I want hills. I mean, so everything is going more interactive now. And that's the power of digital content. If you're just throwing text on a screen, throwing up a video, that is not in my definition, digital content, because it's too passive. It's not interactive.
Very interesting. Well, I can see a lot of applications for that, especially like, you know, if you're trying to train a work a police force in how to deal with any kind of problems like we saw with the, some of our schools. You could do that through that type of program that you're working with. Were you okay?
Absolutely. There are a lot of applications for that, and we've certainly done that with police departments where we have branched video scenarios where the officer has a choice in the video of taking action A or action B, and depending on what action, a different video pops up with a different result. So you're right. It's very informative that way.
Wow. So if people want to get hold of you, how do they get hold of you?
Best way is Vicki, V-I-C-K-I, at VickiKunkel.com. And that's VickiKunkel.com. And, of course, you can look me up on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, all those good places.
Well, that's great. Well, Vicki, thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You know, as we're wrapping up today, I would like to remind you that Breaking Boundaries International is our sponsor today. If you're looking to break through your personal boundaries and career roadblocks, Breaking Boundaries International can help. Also, if you're looking for a motivational business speaker for your next business meeting or conference, Breaking Boundaries can help. They can be reached at 800-881-7809. Our quote in wrapping up today's session is actually from Johnny Carson. And Johnny Carson said, "Never continue in a job you don't enjoy. If you're happy in what you are doing, you'll like yourself and you'll have inner peace. And if you have that along with physical health, you will have had more success than you could possibly have ever imagined." So you've been listening to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. Each week we try to address relevant topics for women to spark your career and life growth. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco, and have a wonderful day. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.